Hey everyone, Lisa Resnick, Homes and Hops. I am at Youngstown Studios with Steven of the Soap Gallery. What's up, Steven?
Hi, how are you?
Good. I'm doing great. Good. It's not raining.
Yes, finally.
I know. And from what I understand, for the next few days, however, I still can't wait for fall.
Yeah, fall's my favorite season.
I know.
I'm tired of this monsoon season.
Oh, me too. Me too. And of course, they're saying the storms are only going to get worse. But on to better topics.
Yes.
So, Steven, you are an owner of the Soap Gallery.
Yes.
So tell people out there that, about this gem that we have in downtown that's right across from the Ohio One building.
Yeah, we are a full-time art gallery, open Monday. I'm sorry, Wednesday through Saturday, 12 to 5 every
Nothing's
day.
Open on Mondays no. anymore. Come on.
we've been in business since October of 2015. And we try to do a new art show the first Friday of every single month. We switch out the art. Sometimes it's an individual artist. Sometimes it's a theme. Currently on display is the Bliss Kids Collective, which is a lot of former YSU students, graduates from the art program, put a compilation show together of all blue summer artwork.
Oh.
So everything is blue currently in there. We temporarily even changed our logo to blue for just to match the show this month. And so we just try to do something new every single month, art-wise, and really try to support the arts in the area.
So how do you go about choosing the artists that you do put on display? Like, what's the process in doing that? I'm horribly thinking of Top Model right now. When they come in, it's like, no, yes. Like, how do you choose?
There is a lot of that. There's some that wouldn't be good enough to be on display. If you don't think you're going to be able to really sell it, then I don't.
Oh, so people go to sell their artwork.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So that's a lot. How we make our money is that they tell us, the artist tells us how much they want to get for the piece, and then we add a commission to it.
Okay.
So a lot of that is, I don't think that this is good enough to sell. We kind of weed it out that way.
How do you break it to them? Like, let's pretend I'm presenting you my artwork that I did over COVID because, you know, why not learn the guitar
right. And
color? So how would you break it to me? Because I know my artwork's not good enough, but how would you break it to me that it's not?
I would just say, I don't think that this would fit this show or something like that.
So it's really like when you're rejecting someone just in general, like, hey, let's go on a date. I don't think so.
Yeah, we try to be more gentle with it
okay.
and try to give them construct, because you want them to improve as an artist. And a lot of people aren't to the point where they're even ready to sell. So they'll just put a not for sale thing on and we put it on the wall for them. So not everything is commercially viable necessarily, but at the same time, you don't want kindergarten art on the walls either. So you don't tell somebody that looks like that, but you just say, I think you need to improve your craft a little bit before we can show you.
Do you ever see, go to any of the local schools
mm-hmm.
and their art shows and yeah. see these kids and what they're able to produce?
Some of it's phenomenal. Some of it's better
it's
than
crazy.
Some of our artists on the walls. Yeah. The talent there, it's interesting because it's not necessarily a profession that a lot of people go into. A lot of it is just hobby based, and it's especially around here, there's not too many full-time artists, but if they were to develop that craft, they could be a lot, especially a lot of the young kids have a lot of talent for sure.
So for all those that are thinking not going into something that they love and that is drawing or photography, how much could they make if they learn how to perfect and market that craft?
Sky's the limit, really. If you get the right exposure, you could make anything and go show in galleries across the country. But what I would really advise people to do, especially when they're young starting out, is do something within that craft that you're passionate about that can also be a vocation. So if you're a photographer, take up wedding photography as well. If you're an artist, do commercial art just do something in that art field that you can still apply your craft and get better at, and then have a viability to do it as a vocation.
Now, how did you end up with the Soap Gallery?
So Soap is myself and Daniel Rauschenbach.
Okay.
We've been friends since high school. We got to know each other back in the Lemon Grove days, And we put on art shows there and in other bars around the area. And we sat down one day. We were always like, it would be great to have an art gallery. It'd be great to have an art gallery. And I started going to school to get my MBA. And one of the projects for school was, perfect project would be to start a business.
Oh, there you go.
So we thought, let's find a place and see if we can actually really make a go of this. Because anytime we do it in the past, it was be at a bar. And if you're at a bar, you'll look at the art, but most likely you're going to spend your $5 for a beer or a drink there. You're not there for that specific purpose. So we wanted a place for the specific purpose of showing art. And that's how we started.
That's awesome. And I love it because you can have events and where you're displaying people's art. People do have the ability to walk around with their cocktail or their beverage or some delicious birdfish beer. But like, it's amazing to have such a great artistic expression right here in the city. And I don't think people realize how much places like yours and Dior and Stambaugh and all the art community, I think they're calling it. So the Chamber, along with Youngstown Foundation, they hosted a Lunch and Learn this past week.
Yes.
And it was about how the art community is the creative economy and how much money they actually filter in.
Yeah.
I mean, it's trillions of dollars that they filter into the economy.
Right.
I mean, your portion of the pie is pretty large. And you do, and depending on the gallery and the art displays that you have, you draw in people from other areas to come to come to your place.
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of people just want to come and rent the place. So we do rent it out for private rentals. And some of our biggest sales have been coming from people that are there for a party, and they say, oh, I really want that piece. And we sold a $2,500 piece that way a couple months ago. So yeah, it's giving people exposure to that. And there hasn't been a gallery in the downtown since the early 90s. And so we wanted to really change that.
Well, I think it's awesome. And not only do you guys have art, but you also have music.
We do. We have a cool loading dock area that we can put bands out on. We just had one this past weekend, had a jazz band from Cleveland. We also have a lot of concerts on the inside. It's a cool space because it has a tin ceiling, so you don't necessarily need speakers, and it really projects out there, and it's really intimate. So we get a lot of shows for people that want to come just to sit down and listen. And acoustic artists really like it a lot for that purpose because they can really just project naturally and kind of have an intimate feel.
And the block that you guys are on, it suits it really well too, which across the street from you is Smarts.
Yes.
Which is also neat because you do have this whole like music art vibe that you have going on there.
Yep.
I mean, I know the Business Journal's up there. So it's like you have like the head in the clouds and the people with their feet on the ground all meshed in together.
Yeah, they're great people.
They are great people. But so how do you like it over in that little nook that you have?
We like it because we're not going to get people walking on the street most likely. It's more of a destination.
Eventually you will.
Eventually. Yeah. And we're hoping for more street traffic, but it's more of a destination and it's quiet. We don't have any issues down there. We've never had any problems. There's a lot of parking down there. It's a cool section of the city and it's kind of gives it a chance, especially with the Flea a couple blocks over and my cousin Aspasia with Penguin City.
Wait, is it like you're related to Aspasia?
Yes. Yes.
Like, oh my gosh. Everybody's related to each other.
Three or four cousins removed or something, but yeah, her grandfather and my grandfather are brothers.
Okay.
So that's the way that works. But yeah, we think that the whole, that section of downtown is kind of arts and culture. And we're proud of that.
I think that's awesome. You guys actually did, didn't Penguin do a collaboration with you guys a few weeks ago? And had another event there?
They did. They were part of the block party last month. And yeah, they served the beer for that. We were able to shut down the street and they put couches and living room sets all over the street. And we had Common Grounds was there.
Okay. Common Goods.
Common Goods was there. Yes.
Yes. The little coffee shop that's actually, and they have Matt Branch Streets Coffee that's up over by the park.
Yes.
Off of Canfield Niles Road, which is also really good. Very healthy.
Yes.
Very healthy.
They have a cool shop there. Those are really good people.
Yes, they are.
So we like collaborating with good people in the city for sure.
So you collaborate with Youngstown State, mm-hmm. with their students.
Yep.
Which is great because you do. You provide them an opportunity to be able to display what they love.
Yep.
And I know that with other local photographers and everything, do you bring in anybody from outside the area?
Yes. We have a lot of Cleveland artists come through. It's really good to pair somebody from out of town with somebody local. That gives you the ability to get the local crowd in and get exposure for the Cleveland crowd. It's similar. I can't remember who I was talking with, but if you bring in somebody that's well-known in Cleveland,
mm-hmm.
Music-wise, they don't get as good of a crowd as if they're paired with somebody local. I don't know why we're like that in this area, but we've noticed the same thing. One of my favorite shows was a guy named Raymond Taller, who was a 29 and a half year exoneree. He was cleared from DNA evidence after 29 years and one of the most prolific artists I've ever seen, but he can't do art anymore because it gives him PTSD. It reminds him back when he was back in prison.
Oh, wow.
So we're hoping to have him back here next
year. That's like
year.
A reverse effect of like Clockwork Orange,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. But we, I was acquired his collection and I gave it back to him because I just think he's such an amazing story and such an amazing guy. I hope to have him back here soon. But yeah.
Do you ever have to pay a fee to have the artist come?
No.
So it's always the other way around.
Yeah. Yeah. We don't charge anything and we've never charged admission either. So unless it's a private event.
Okay.
Yeah.
How many private events do you have?
We don't really advertise it because we want to primarily focus on art sales.
Okay.
But usually probably three or four a month we'll have. And sometimes we do fundraisers for nonprofits. So last weekend was the Cool Boys Foundation, which is a group of Youngstown men who graduated back in the 90s. And they started a foundation to help young people in school currently.
Oh, that's who's all part of that?
Steve Jones.
Oh, yes.
Scott Washington, a few others. I can't remember right now.
Steve Jones is a great guy.
Yeah.
And he does. He does a lot of stuff for the community. Yeah. We need more people like that, right?
I agree.
So back in the day, I may have made a mention about a restroom project.
Yes, you did. We had a meeting about it. I remember. Yeah.
So do you think that... think you want to spearhead that project?
I'd love to. That would be so cool. I really do.
So the idea is, and they've done it in Montreal, as well as Colorado and other areas throughout the world. And they've actually made bathrooms art. And it's like their own separate entity. So you walk in from any other space that you're in, and you find yourself in a whole other world that you're mesmerized. And of course you do a selfie in it.
Of course.
So it's like promotion of the place that you're in.
Yep.
Plus the experience is cool. Like, I think it's awesome.
I got the artist lined up too. Whenever we find a good bathroom.
I know. We have a couple of them. Joe, do you want to lend us a bathroom at Youngstown Studio?
Sure. It's a communal bathroom, so they have to.
I got to clear that with Rich.
Well, you should have a good relationship with him.
Yeah. We do. He lives right above me. So.
I heard his space is one of the greatest spaces in the city as well.
It's like walking back into 1990. It's amazing. There's a hot tub in the living room.
Oh, no way. 1990? Yeah. If it had the, what is it, the shag carpeting.
He had.
That's like cat. Austin Powers.
When I first met him, he had a cat for the first time. He had all these cat platforms all over. And it was a big, long-haired cat. It was interesting.
That's awesome. What next show can we all, anticipate going to? I know you're open all the time.
Yep.
But when's the next show that you're going to be having for the public?
So the next opening will be the first Friday in September. I believe that's the second. Is that right?
I think it is. I think it is.
Okay. Yeah. And then that will that
second
will
or
be
third.
I'm not sure.
Well, I'm not sure. I'm looking at second or third.
A first Friday in September.
August 30th is Monday. Okay.
Okay. So yeah, the third. It's from 5 to 9. The show is called The Locals. It's about 10 local Youngstown artists and their recent creations that they've made over the past couple of years. The show after that is Lit Youngstown, which is a collaboration between us and them. They're actually having their festival during October. A lot of people from out of town will be coming in.
Oh, that's great.
So we'll do all the artwork will be based off of literature. And then the following month is an open submission show through a collaboration with us and Random Acts of Artists. And anyone can submit a piece to that show.
When's the next local musician coming?
We have on the 29th, I'll have to look up his name, but we have a jazz trio coming from New York City.
Oh, wow.
So we really want to try to get
him a crowd. How do you find these people?
They found us.
Okay.
The Hunter Tones played there a couple years ago, and a lot of the jazz community talks to each other, and Hunter Tones are from kind of a couple people are from here and from New York City. So, yeah, when bands have a good experience, they tell other bands go play there. When they have a bad one, they don't go play there.
Is there a cost for anybody to go?
$10 at the door.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, there you have it. Thank you so much for coming on. This has been awesome.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
And cheers.
Cheers.
To Birdfish, to Steven, the Soap Gallery. Definitely go check it out. It is pretty cool. The space in the building itself is awesome. Like, I'm into architecture and the finishes of building, and you do have a lot of the exposure of the building.
Yep.
It's just a really cool place that we have downtown, and people should go check it out for sure.
Thank you, Lisa. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Holmes & Hops is proudly supported by Platt Insurance, your local independent insurance agency offering auto, home, life, business, and farm insurance. They also have a team of specialists that help you with insuring your brewery or winery. Platt Insurance, helping you protect your tomorrow. For more information or a quote, please call them at 330-856-6244 or visit them on the web at plattinsurance.com.